Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've had some exciting events happen here up at the ranch and all around the planet lately. There's so much to talk about concerning all the disclosures, and it seems like everything is coming forward and hitting the fan, and everything's becoming very transparent, just as we said it would. And disclosure projects are well underway. They're being orchestrated on other levels, on much higher levels, but as we said, this November, you'd see everything just coming up and hitting the fan, and political, everything is happening. So, we've got a great guest tonight. I don't want to go too much further into the rest of the news. I'd like to bring on Renato Longato. Are you with us?
James, how you doing? Really appreciate your invitation tonight for all your friends and here on your show, As You Wish.
Oh, great having you on the show.
Well, thank you so much again, yeah.
Yeah, now, I've always been fascinated. I've spent a lot of time down in Mexico doing some research and all of the incredible hot spots, and there's crash sites and just all kinds of things going on there. And I understand you've been doing a lot of research in both, is it Costa Rica and Peru, or is it just Costa Rica?
Well, I've been doing research since I was becoming involved with the UFO phenomena. That was in 1979 already. But lately, I've been involved in some research and experience, the so-called basic interaction activity with intelligence, from extraterrestrial intelligence in Peru, Costa Rica, and in Mexico as well. In the last 3 years, a very intense experiences. I've been in Mexico with Jaime Maussan, the famous, also top female UFO researcher and experiencer as well. Her name is Ana Luisa Cid. Then with Richard Sandy and Alexis Astua in Costa Rica, and then with a group of friends, really, from the Lux Nova International Group in Lima. And lately, here in Atlanta, Georgia, as well, with a group of friends, that we got together like 8-9 months ago, and we went through dynamics that we call the brainstorms, but also we mixed it with meditations and relaxations. And then we have our Skywatch on the last week of October, on the 27th, when we have some experience in some sort of appearances of UFOs while we're taking photographs. Well, we weren't able to see with the naked eye, but it appears in the photographs. And that's one of the things that we're trying to create awareness. So this research exactly is that the most important thing is a shift of consciousness. And the determinant thing is to do something for your fellow human being. And that is to share the information, and it's up to the person. Up to you exactly if you want to go and do this spiritual adventure to transcend and include these changes that are affecting all of us, whatever your race, status, economical level, whatever you are, we are going to face, these tremendous challenges, because we're going into a great cycle of life, which painful endings and hopeful beginnings. Mm-hmm. And exactly in Mexico, there's a tremendous amount, and you've been there, I'm sure, of UFO activity since exactly July 1992, when was the solar eclipse in Mexico, when the Mayan calendar was saying that the people from the stars will show up, and it's exactly happened. And since then, it's nonstop. And also in Costa Rica, since the mid-70s, with a Costa Rican engineer named Enrique Castillo Rincon, who lives right now in Colombia, who has five ET encounters, and he left a bunch of information in that time as a result of his encounters. And then in Peru, I've been in Cusco like 9 or 10 times, Nazca Lines, the Marcahuasi Plateau, and I've been, not by myself only, with also people that we have experienced basic UFO interaction. This is the way we get an initial contact, and we're trying to explore the way we can achieve a better approach into this new reality. So my experiences are based on facts. I mean, extraterrestrials are, beings, and they're intelligent beings that are coming here into a mission. They are engaged with humanity since remote time, and they want somehow to trigger a collective consciousness changing in our environment so we can reorient, redefine, and change our future.
You know, this same message is coming to us here, and it's also coming to a lot of other contactees, and it's a message that seems to be missed, especially by the mainstream media. Their whole focus now is just proving the UFOs exist and that there's been cover-ups and back engineering and things of that nature. But it's kind of sad they're missing the big picture, which it's obvious you're very well aware of, and that is the spiritual aspect to it and the very spiritually and technologically advanced beings that are coming, that are here now to help us rise to the occasion and get through this quantum leap in evolution and consciousness and some of the changes.
And
they just seem to miss this. They won't even touch on that component.
I think because the superstructure, you know, the financial, political structure is collapsing gradually. We're going to see these changes, you know, affecting the economy, you know, creating social disruption. But at the same time, it's a hopeful beginning in the near future. But the media always try to manipulate, distort this presence, extraterrestrial presence, as people who are just having hallucinations. That most of the people that are filming or recording photographs, there are things that are flying on the air and there's nothing, no more proof. I mean, even the scientists off the record, they talk about the UFOs, but they can't talk it openly because they will lose their jobs. Air Force generals, I mean, I was in charge and coordinated with Jaime Maussan a private conference in the Peruvian Air Force in December 2005, and there were four-star generals of fighter pilots and witnesses, the people that are trying even to shut down UFOs in a nearby Air Force military space. So the media already knows that, but it's here in America, more specifically, that the media tries to deny it and tries to label easily any people who are related to the UFO experience. And one of the things that I like what you said in one of your experience when you got this like sunburn on your chest,
mm-hmm.
Well, you were asking, you know, okay, well, for how long am I going to be just recording or taking photographs of the UFOs? What's next? So you, in that moment, I agree 100% with you, because in that moment, you transcend the UFO quote phenomena,
mm-hmm.
and you enter into a new phase of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it is, because if you can record and film and video thousands of UFOs all around the world, but if you don't go the next step to try to transcend the technological, you know, awesome achievement of these sophisticated civilizations, you just stay there. You be, you know, behind what is this amazing cultural, philosophical, and spiritual opportunity to grow and not to be alienated in cosmos.
Yes, definitely. I've always found it interesting is that the people that cannot take the next step and move into, okay, who's on the ships? Why are they here? What are their natures? And how are they assisting humanity, Earth? They don't even want to know this information. They want to keep it, you know, in the past, the nuts and bolts, and again, the back engineer program, and you bring them these gifts, these pearls, and they just throw them on the ground, and they don't want to hear about it. They just want to keep their own little program going, and it's rampant in the community right now. I've invited so many people up here, top people in ufology. And I said, come and see the ships. We've got They appear here almost every night. If we've got clear skies, the ships will be here. And they don't come. It's just amazing. They refuse to come and see for themselves and take their own pictures and get their own footage. They want to keep control of it or keep it in this little box that's in the back.
Exactly. I mean, it's deep in their belief system. It's rooted in their psyche. And the more UFO sightings that we have, and I sent you a video clip, and a spectacular video clip earlier this morning in Costa Rica, I was taking on November 22nd. It's right now in the media in Costa Rica is, you know, driving the people crazy because a guy just was able to record from his cell phone an amazing, the typical craft like Billy Mayer kind of playing UFO. Unbelievable, you know. But you don't see those news. You don't see people going down and trying to research and go more deeper. Well, the thing is that we are right now in a process that they want to shape the collective consciousness of the human being. How come? Because of the development of the technology. Now we have digital cameras, video camera recorders, more sophisticated every year. So anybody is able to cut on tape these UFOs, even though you cannot see with your naked eyes. So the more we have, we are subliminally bombarded by these UFO sightings until we're going to accept this as a part of our reality. I mean, they are, it's a merging reality into ours. And this is creating a social cultural revolution because we're going to, sooner or later, religion, politicians, we're going to accept this new reality that is always with us, within us even. So, you know, many people in the near future are going to turn and say, hey, James, I mean, you were right. You know, yeah, I miss your invitation on your ranch. Can I go again? Oh, yeah, in the last minute, they're going to show up. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and they're going to start telling me all about UFOs usually. You know, it's really funny. Now they're experts. You know, it's amazing. We've, you know, I don't know how long you've been doing it, but I've been in this field intensely for over 20 years. And it's funny, people come up and they're trying to teach me all about some UFOs. And now, you know, they're experts because they read a couple articles or whatever. It's amazing. I just listen to them, you know, and let them talk.
Yeah, this is mostly more practice and experience. And the problem, the other issue that people do have, like you and me and others as well, some of them keep a low profile. I understand that because of their position. Others have to go and face the public. And that is the key moment. Anybody who have had an experience, an extraterrestrial encounter, or a powerful interaction, you know, shaped their reality, shaped their mind. And that means you have to have a coherent message. You have to transform that into words. You have to become responsible for what you receive, and the extraterrestrials are going to watch you. What are you going to do next with that experience? How are you going to use it? It's going to be in your benefit. Are you going to do this? Are you going to try to manipulate people? Are you going to try to become a guru or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
So that is the way they somehow test you. They give you like a candy. They give you, you know, a UFO. Or a holographic projection of an ET spectacular blew your mind and everything. But the next day, the day after effect is very important because you're going to wake up, you have to go and jump in your car, you have to buy your groceries, you have to pay your bills, and then come back to reality. But at the same time, you have lived an extraordinary experience. How do you explain that? That is the problem, too. So some people decided just to keep a low profile. They don't want to talk about it, while others, like you, are doing this mission. And one of the things that I have to recognize that you're doing, one of the things that, you know, we receive information because I belong like a network of people who have had this experience in South America. One of the things that they said, you know, you have to create a rural or semi-rural community with alternative energy because the future is going to be affected by hydrocarbon resources and, you know, the economical collapse. A global recession, and it's going to be a crash of civilization. And that was exactly 33 years ago. That was the message 33 years ago, and right now it's happening.
It's definite. I mean, they're giving us the information concerning the, just with the erratic weather and the earthquakes that are on the increase up to 400% and hurricanes and tornadoes, and then you add these massive solar flares that are building up. I mean, the sun's a little quiet right now, but it's going to kick up again even stronger. And all we need is one shot, you know, hit us direct, and the grid's down, and every chip, you know, every computer, every car, everything that has a chip in it is going down. And it's going to stay down for a long time. And you know, people need to get get ready for these events, and that's the same information they've been telling us, is we need to become sovereign and start preparing and get ready for these changes.
Exactly. I think the National Center for Atmospheric Research is saying that it's going to be a sandstorm, very powerful in the next years, I mean, which is going to happen. The most powerful activity of the sun is going to be in 2012, exactly, you know, related to the Mayan calendar.
Yep.
And that's going to affect, you know, microchips, even the human brain, the function, and how we perceive reality. So the consciousness, the brain exactly is, you know, formed, according to scientists, of millions of magnetic fields that we have. And if that changes, the magnetic current on Earth is going to change our perception. The pituitary gland and the pineal gland and the hypothalamus are going to be affected. So that's why it's very... they suggested, the ET suggested always to practice meditation and relaxation, because you create in tune, you get in tune with those changes. So many people can see their own gifts, how they're going to expand, how can they take their own weaknesses to work against that and to try and to become a better human being. But this alignment with the center of the galaxy is going to affect all of us. And if we don't do or try to achieve, to build up a consensus of a community beyond a religion, beyond a political movement, beyond status, we're going to face a very tough time, and something's going to happen. But for people who always are looking ahead or trying to do their best, it's cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you are doing is something that you're going to receive because you've been working on that. That makes sense.
Yeah, they've been telling us, making it very clear that, you know, we have to rise in consciousness and move up in frequencies, and that, you know, they said that we are going to be hammered with some intense energies coming through, and some people it's going to hit like a feather, and some people it's going to hit like a brick, according to your frequency or your attitudes and emotions and beliefs that you're carrying in your field.
Well, you're right, saying that, you know, people don't realize that we have to make an integral change. Some people think that a shift of consciousness has only to do with just thinking differently. You know, it's integral. You have to take care of your body. Then you have to take care of your mental body. You have to take care of your spiritual, your soul. So in those three levels, you have to take care of yourself. In order to do that, you have to have a kind of discipline. If you continue drinking alcohol, if you continue being tied to smoking cigarettes, or you are in drugs or something like that, I mean, you're going to pay the price. So what happened with the Katrina disaster was, you know, there were thousands of people living in that stadium, and people were killed in the bathrooms, and they were doing this because you have a honest family sleeping there, and a few bits away, there was a criminal or a guy who just is an addict or a person with some kind of problem. So that microcosmos reflects what may happen in society as we approach this pivotal time of 2012.
Yeah, it's definitely. I just see that there's a major vibrational lifting going on. They've been talking a lot about the grids, and they've been working with the grids of the Earth to try to assist us to make these shifts and changes. And they've also been talking a lot about what I call the frequencies of tyranny, the people that are, you know, the controllers and the enslavers. On every level, they're hitting them very hard with these new frequencies, and their worlds are just coming unraveled as we speak.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think that, you know, besides this wild card that we're going to face, there is the potential of the human being to get together. There is the potential of this spiritual revolution.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to happen with people who are working on that. There's always an opportunity for anybody until the last minute of this Big Bang, to say any words, you know.
Can you speak up a little louder? It's getting harder to hear. It's like...
Okay.
Okay, there we go.
I'm sorry about that.
Now we got it.
Okay, so there's always an opportunity to anybody. There's always an opportunity to change. It's not easy. It is hard. I don't believe it's this 101 crash courses that can tell you, you can reach nirvana, or you can do this or do that, or the extraterrestrials are going to come down and rescue you because you are special and, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I mean, the extraterrestrials are very direct, are very straight, and they go straight to the point. They don't write these poetic messages that look more like a Christian background or some sort of that. They don't have any religion. They don't have any problem like that ability system. They have a cosmic consciousness. So we are going from an ethnical consciousness into a planetary consciousness, and in the future we're going to a cosmic consciousness. That's why we're going to this different level of internal changes. And these internal changes are really, creating the opportunity to create a new reality. And it's depending on our worldview and our own paradigm. What you are doing in your lunch, it's a laboratory, in my opinion, when you can test people how to react and encounter, or how they can do to create a new environment, how you can deliver the message you receive through the content that you have. And that's an everyday thing. And I think it's not easy, but, man, you are doing it, and that's the determinant thing.
Yeah, definitely there's... they've made it very clear that we have to transcend all religious and cultural boundaries into more of a universal love and a universal peace and brother-sisterly love, you might say, of all people and all races, all cultures. And they've transcended that, but there's all these groups down here that have organized, and they have images and beliefs and doctrines, and they all want their doctrine to be the one true doctrine or the one enforced on everybody else. And we've just run amok down here with all these divisions and separations. But, in their consciousness, there is no separation, and there are no divisions in God. And even in the Bible and other texts, it makes it very clear God is omnipresent. There are no divisions in God. And these other diverse beings are part of the diversity. They're the other children of God, so... who are we warring on, and who are we arguing with and fighting with? It's God fighting God,
Yeah, that's right. That's the ethnical worldview. Mm-hmm. My lifestyle, my status, my race, my religion is better than yours. If you don't want it, you can go to hell because God is on my side.
Yeah.
And I know the Bible by heart, and that's going to save me. And in the other side of the world, they say, I read Mohammed and the Quran, and I'm going to be safe. I don't know what's going to happen with the Buddhists or the Tibetans or whoever's, or the shamans in the Amazon. They are not going to be safe because they are not, in any religion. So what are we going here is a completely shift of consciousness, and to understand that religion is the main religion that is coming here. It's ecological religion, because we are Mother Earth, and whatever is the manifestation of this divine energy, subtle divine energy, that embrace of life and manifestation. And the most important thing of the intelligent human being is to preserve life. It's not just preserve the body. I don't know, maybe next week I'm going to be died, I don't know. But to preserve life as its whole meaning, that is the promise for future generations.
Yeah, I I see what's going on right now with the present leadership here in the U.S., and they just have no respect whatsoever for life, human or otherwise. And, the whole program is just profit at any expense. And, and you can tell that the people in general are just saying, we just don't want to do this anymore. We're done with it.
Yeah.
And nature's done with it. And the higher beings are just done with this program. But we still have this one group that is just hanging on to the path and playing all these little control games and manipulation games. But I'm really seeing now the energies are sufficient now, and there are so many other energies that are coming up and waking up very fast, and that old guard is just going by the wayside.
Yeah, I mean, the agenda of this administration is to skip this generation in order to control the hydrocarbon resources in the Middle East through a new Middle East, through a more democratic, quote, Middle East, according to their vision. But that is destroying the authority of this superpower, which is the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And since the very beginning of the foundation of America, the United States is the leader to create a new world order. But it all depends who is and who is behind that and what's the agenda. It's like having a gun or a knife. You can cut or you can kill or you can shoot someone. You have so much power. And the thing is that in the next administration, whoever is going to be the president, will have Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or Giuliani, whoever is going to be the president.
Ron Paul.
yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, whoever is going to receive such a problem, a global problem here, and created a tremendous effort for a very strong and tactful diplomacy around the world to remake the American policy more humanitarian and not isolated. But at the same time, the next administration is going to face a tremendous challenge. And this is one of the things I received in 1990 while I was having a spiritual enlightenment experience. And that before 2012, around 2010 and 2012, they didn't give me an exact moment, month, or hour. The American administration, whoever is going to be in power, is going to receive the pressure from a collective group of extraterrestrial intelligence telling them, you can change this, the history. I mean, you, the American government, can do this, can do that. If not, you are on the edge of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to exert pressure by their own ways and technology. And to have an official contact, first going to be a private thing, then it's going to become public. You're going to leak the information, and you're going to create a tremendous challenge. But for some countries, it would be unfair that the United States is right now having this official contact with extraterrestrial intelligence. But this is going to be before 2012,
mm-hmm.
and that is really one of the things that are going to shake the foundation of all institutions, even the United Nations.
And these contacts are escalating like crazy in Mexico and Peru and Costa Rica and all these other countries that don't shoot at them. You know, that's the main thing. You know, they're having all these incredible contacts and exchanges of information, and you know, we're having some pretty neat stuff happen here, but nowhere to the extent that it could happen. And the only reason, you know, they aren't basically landing and assisting us with, you know, the cures to most diseases and, you know, Earth-friendly technologies and everything else is
yeah.
that the aggressiveness that they're met with our own, you know, military, and we have that on footage. We have the ships chasing them on a regular basis, and it's a no-contest situation. They just blink out, and, you know, the jet flies by, and then they blink back in again. But they've actually brought pulse lasers and plasma weapons and tried to shoot these craft out of the sky.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. I mean, they just got a little brighter and kept going.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, you would think, okay, now we just threw the best of the best that we have at these ships, and they just kind of like shook it off and nothing even happened. Now the next step in the interest of national security is going, you know, maybe we should make friends with these guys. And say, you know, we're sorry we shouldn't have shot at you, and even though you are thousands, millions, if not billions of years ahead of us in evolution and
yeah.
technology, and, you know, in the interest of national security, we should be making friends with these benevolent, spiritually advanced beings, you know, because they're the ones with the real power and the real technology. And
That's right.
Yeah, it's insane what they're doing now, but...
That's right. I think that we're going towards that. We know that France, you know, Brazil, Chile, Argentina, Peru, Ecuador, now Costa Rica, Mexico, a couple of years ago, they just released their X-Files,
mm-hmm.
and they're open to the public, and the commanders of military or the Air Force or Navy are saying, you know, yes, we did see a UFO. We tried to shut down. There is not a threat for national security. I mean, they're Pacific. Because instead of trying to control us, instead of trying the greys or the lizards coming to control us, quote, you know, they should have done that before, 200
mm-hmm.
years ago, more easily than now, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
to try to control the human race 400 or 500 years ago before Christopher Columbus, and there will be another story.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way. That creates dependency. And the way they won is the main thing is the men try to open their eyes into a new reality. And in some areas, it's going to be more traumatic than others. And I think it's going to be a little more tougher here because, I mean, in this experience, it's collective. It doesn't have any borders.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be more tougher here in the United States because of the media, how it is, you know, shown to the public, how it is diminished. On how he is really trying to disinformation and misguidance and misleading information to the public. So in some way it's going to be good, but it's going to be also tough. But gosh, I mean, truth is dead. The truth is out there, really.
Oh, yeah.
And they are here.
Well, you know, they've always been here, and anybody that does any research. You know, there's cave paintings over 7,000 years old with UFOs in them, and they're in all the frescoes, and they were always a part of religion. When you go over to Europe, you know, they're just accepted, and they're in all the frescoes and everything else. Very holy, very spiritual paintings. And it seems like just the past 50 or 60 years since they started back engineering some of the crashed ships and things like that, that all of a sudden it just became ridiculed and, you know, laughed at, and they did everything they could to suppress any of that information.
You're right.
Coming out again.
Yeah, it's coming out again. And the thing, the technology is helping a lot. The cell phones.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, cameras and video cams are helping a lot. And I have to tell you something else. There was a powerful earthquake in Peru in the first week of August of this year. 7.9.
Mm-hmm.
That really killed and wiped out a town just 3 hours south of Lima City. Lima is in South America, Peru, 6 million inhabitants, and Pisco area in Ica, department of Ica, was, you know, wiped out. Downtown was wiped out completely. More than 6,000 families lost their houses and everything, and 600 people were killed. But I cannot say the names, but a group of high-ranked officers were receiving two cell phones codex messages at the very same time with an unknown number. So they're trying to find out what was this, what was a hoax or something, and they found out there was longitudes and latitudes. And after a couple of years, because this is going on for 2 years, I guess, they find out they were coordinated. There were longitudes and latitudes, other specific areas, and they did a triangulation, and they found out that those were earthquake epicenters.
Mm-hmm.
And a month before, in July this year, they shown the same text messages with numerical codes. And they shown the areas of Pisco, and exactly a month later was the earthquake. So they're trying to reach as much as they can and give us a message because they cannot do it directly because it also affects our reality. So it's a very tricky situation. And even for the people who receive that information, it's difficult for them in order to tell, you know, the public, hey, I'm a Peruvian Air Force officer and I'll be receiving this from extraterrestrial sources and it's going to be an earthquake next month. Gosh, I mean, it's very difficult to deal with that kind of information. So in order to somehow reduce the earthquake, the telluric and seismic waves, I think they were working on that. They cannot control and make it disappear. Somehow they can reduce effects of the earthquake, and they're somehow trying to give information in order to have the people ready. I'm aware that we live in a seismic area, and we're prone to these major earthquakes around the world, exactly.
It does make sense. They've given me a lot of telepathic messages before, and they gave me the San Francisco earthquake and several others.
Yeah.
And I told people a year ahead of time that this was going to happen. I gave them the exact date and time that was given to me. And basically, I got run out of town. I mean, I had everybody so angry and so ticked off at me, and they said, "You're creating it. Why are you spreading fear?" And I said, "No, it's just I'm just a messenger." You know, I said, "Thanks for all the power you're giving me to create these quakes." And they hit right on cue, and then I went back after the quake hit, and the people were still indignant and angry, and like not even there was no humility there. And you know, I said, "You know, I'm getting out of this business. I'm not going to be doing too much more prophecy because
you're right. It is difficult to deal with the higher reality. It is difficult to deal with facts that are going to happen in the future. You're right on target, but you are the doomsayer. Oh, here comes the doomsayer. Oh, it's easy to label people. It's easy to label someone who tried to do this best, you know, and try to create awareness. And if you have a prediction, and it became true, man, people don't take it on a positive side. They take it, you know, as a negative action that you are doing, sayer. But, you know, those are facts of life. And we're living in the moments of great changes, and that we have to face a new reality. Because if we don't get together, somehow, transcending race, status, economical situation, whatever, we're going to pay the bill. I mean, this is one of the things that differs the information with kind of a new age, so light and edulcorate, that everything is love, everything is happiness. Yes, it is love and happiness as well, but that it is also a shift of consciousness. The more you become aware, the more you go deeper into yourself, you love much better. You become a better human being, and at the same time, you become aware, and you can spread the word. Whatever you are, try to do your best. And if you have the chance, the opportunity, I have these ET contacts, and I have this opportunity to have this experience that shaped my worldview. I mean, we have to do something, and this is what we're doing. We have to make people think, and the rest is up to them.
No, definitely. Now, we have a caller called in. Do you mind taking some calls?
Sure, no problem.
Say again.
All right.
Hang on a second. Are you talking to me?
Yeah. Do we have a caller on the line, or somebody's beeping in?
Hang on. I just turned it down. Say again.
Is this Seth?
No.
Who's this?
John.
John, do we have a caller on the line? Are you the caller?
Well, I don't know. I was calling in to see if they were going to take call at the end of the or when Gilliland and the speaker gets done.
I believe so.
what does that mean?
Yeah. What? I guess you're on. If you want to go ahead and ask a question right now. Hello. Okay. Are you still with us?
Yeah.
We'll just keep going. I don't know what's going on with their equipment there. There's quite a few questions now. I've noticed that when I go to Mexico or you know and greet a lot of these other people, I've noticed that you know there is a real family unity there and an openness and there's a love or an emotional energy and more of a closeness to the ground, and I feel so much more connected with that than I do with some of the fast-paced things going on here, although I live out in the middle of nowhere in this retreat center, but I just feel much more connected to that type of a lifestyle, and I've seen that the ETs want to connect with people that do have an open mind, a loving heart, and pure intent, and they're looking for that, even more so than a lot of the people that are very intellectually advanced, you might say, but haven't worked on their emotional issues yet,
yeah,
or expansion.
Yeah. It is true, mostly because they know the cultural code of each country. If we imagine, if we use our imagination and we think we are in a UFO and we just in 5 seconds can be in Africa, you have a different picture, a complete different cultural background. Then we move up north and we go into Asia and you have the huge ancient Chinese culture, a complete different thing. Then we go to India, then to Russia, which is another planet. You know, and then we go to Western Europe, then we go to America, and then we go to Latin America. And we found this connection, this more into the community, the family, you know, the tradition that helps to glue people into a common unity, into the family, into the town, into the city, due to tradition, due to behavior, due to culture. As an collective expression, then.
Mm-hmm.
So those are more easy to be receivers of the UFO reality or the UFO interaction. People are more prone to be genuine, to accept that. And besides that, if you go to any indigenous tribe or shaman in the Amazon, they can tell you, oh, see, I saw the lights. They're coming down. They help me to heal this patient or do and you know, this and that, because it's off the perception of the reality. It's more communal, more getting together. And that's the kind of environment which is in favor of this kind of basic interactions. I gave a lecture on December 2005 in Costa Rica about UFOs. And then 10 days later, on the 15th of December, there was the first UFO wave in Costa Rica, that even the people downtown came out of the cars and stopped the traffic just looking at the sky. And then in January 2006, exactly on the 13th of January, it happened another UFO wave again.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, the more people become interested, the more journalists or photographers in Costa Rica start to take UFO photographs, and it starts to work as a domino effect. The same way with the last UFO wave in July, end of July in Peru. I mean, they were in downtown Lima City over the government palace, and everybody saw that. Even they were filming a video clip of a famous singer. They need to shut down the recording, because the UFOs appear in the sky.
Yeah, same thing happened in Russia. It's happened several places I've seen where they've been fitting. There's also Turkey, I guess, has some new footage where they were doing some kind of a newscast on a bridge, and these two massive UFOs came flying right over the top of them. And they, you know, grabbed their cameras and turned them up. And I thought it was interesting. You could see all the people running towards, not running away from the UFOs. Everybody's running towards the UFOs to get a better look.
That's right.
Which shows that people are ready to have this experience. They want to see it. They want to experience these other beings. And it's the other way around. Now the government here wants to say that nobody's ready for this. It's going to create mass panic and everybody's just going to, you know, jump off a cliff or something. You know, they have these Brookings reports and everything else, which were done by a group of some pretty controlling, a little bit of closed-minded people that were involved in these reports. And they weren't really taking people out of the mainstream masses. And if they would have, most of the people would have said, oh, yeah, I'm sure they're out there. I'm sure they're here. And I'd like to connect with one. I'd like to see them, have a conversation with one. I mean, that's what the majority of the people would actually say.
Yeah. One of these days it's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Feel more for people. I'm going to be able to see an extraterrestrial coming out of their UFO and saying, hey, how you doing? And then coming inside, that's good enough.
Yeah.
It's going to start working more and more around the world. There's no way to deny it. I mean, thanks God to the internet, we got a bunch of information about that. And also, one of the things is that the more connected that we get the more genuinely interested in the UFO phenomena. And we transcend this UFO phenomena as this amazing technology. We have more experiences, the synchronicities, awareness, hunches related to extraterrestrials. And that's the kind of work, I mean, I'm doing here in Atlanta, Georgia. And doing this is because, I mean, we need to work on the East Coast, which is a little bit difficult here, you know. It is, I know you understand, it's a little bit difficult here. But at the same time, if we get engaged first into understand what is exactly the most important thing, which is a shift of consciousness as a result of the experience related to extraterrestrials, therefore, we're able to go and have a skywatch and have these UFO sightings. And that is the first thing we have to do. I mean, in the dynamics that we have, I don't talk about, you know, extraterrestrials all the time. I don't show them, you know, UFO videos. They can go to YouTube or Google, and that's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going to confront a reality, first you need to be prepared. First, you need to be aware. It's not only to satisfy your curiosity. It's good to satisfy your curiosity, yes, at some extent. But then you need to go and transcend it. I mean, they are here. They're coming here not just to show you, you know, like, this is my latest, you know, UFO model. Look at me, man.
Yeah.
You know, you undeveloped, you know, wow, man. Look at me. No, I mean, they are trying to say, you know, we are here. We are real. And we are approaching, you know, step by step. Because too much too soon can hurt us. It's too much of a reality. It's overwhelming, and we have to understand that. But if we do it collectively, as you're doing in your ranch, you invite people, and I would like to go to your ranch sometime soon, you know?
Oh, anytime. You're welcome to come.
Thank you. I mean, I'm sure we're going to have an amazing skywatch over there.
Yeah, that would be great. Have you seen the movie by chance yet, The Contact Has Begun?
Yes, like really, really, you're right on target. I mean, it's, I have nothing to add about that, and it's nothing to say, just to say that this is the message they've been doing, you know, since the mid-70s, and the message you're doing is coherent. It makes sense. You know, that's what transcends everything, because it makes sense. You know, you are not into any philosophy. You're not into any frame of political or whatever, or intellectual, just saying exactly how it is, your experience, how these changes are going to come, you know, with Mother Nature, because we're affecting the weather. And this is going to create consequences. We have to face it. I mean, it is, you know, very eye-opening. I mean, I congratulate you for your work.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we should get you a couple copies so you can take them to Peru with you or Costa Rica and share them over there.
You should go to Peru with me, James, sometime.
I would love to, actually.
You should go to Peru. I mean, I can take you to the Nazca Lines. I can take you to special power places, and I can take you with even I can say, you know, without doubt, that with some members of the Air Force, into a special areas, and we can have skywatches there.
Well, that would be great. Right now, I have to get my passport back. I'm on the bad list right now. So.
Oh, my God.
You know, they don't like us bringing all this information out and some of the other things, so they always find ways of creating problems.
I see.
You know, it's just one of those little money things. I just have to give them a whole bunch of money, and then they're giving my passport back. But,
I see.
Yeah, but right, you know, right now I'm kind of stuck here in the States.
But before, I mean, probably before, or, you know, the invitation is open to go to Peru anytime, you know, and before that, I would like to go with some friends to your ranch and really get together and really work, you know, into Skywatch over there.
I think it'd be great, and you have an open invitation anytime to come up, and we'll sit and meditate and connect in and see what they have to say, and see who comes.
Perfect. Thank you. One question for you, James. When everything started with you, personally, what was the most difficult thing?
I think with me is I was on a very intense spiritual journey. I had the near-death experience.
I see.
And I was doing a very, very long meditation and talking to other dimensional beings. And I was having this wonderful conversation with these extremely advanced beings. very loving. You know, the energy was just incredible, and my crown and third eye was going off. All the energies were flowing. And when they told me they were coming from a ship, I think that was the part that, because I'm very grounded, you know, I'm very pretty science-minded, you might say, and I just go, okay,
yeah,
I'm not,
like that. Yeah.
You know, I'm going crazy now. That now, you know, I'm breaking this meditation off, and I'm going to go work, you know, in the garden and get grounded and plant some trees. And I didn't even make it to the front door, and my sisters came up banging on the door and said, you see it, you see it? And I said, what? And they said, a ship, you know, hovering over the house. So I had to integrate the high advanced spirituality into the UFO, you know, and the ships, and integrate that. And I think that was, and it wasn't too bad. It was just kind of like, it was kind of a shock in a way when that happened.
Sure. I'm saying it was kind of traumatic to have that and to just easy like that. I mean, how come? They're coming, you know, they were all the time behind that. Or all the time just waiting the perfect moment.
Exactly.
Minute and second, just to show you they were there, they were behind this, and they're going to take you to this journey.
Yeah. And I think when they hit me with a beam in the chest and they took me right out of body,
yeah,
they have the technology to do that. That was quite a shocker, too, you know, to
sure.
be sitting there in the bathtub one minute. The next minute you're on a ship talking with this beautiful woman, and then next thing you're in the bathtub again, and you go, what the heck was that? And you get up and you have a big burn mark in the middle of your chest. That was a major wake-up call for me as well.
That's right. That's interesting. I mean, for me it was 1985, and then I was close to the highlands in Lima City. I have this dream to go in an isolated area nearby a river, a valley there, near the Andes. Because Lima's in the coast, you go to the east is the Andes. And I was there, and everything just turned into silence. I mean, and it's, you know, kind of forest area, some trees and bushes and the mountains. And it was like I was inside of a bubble, an artificial environment. And then I saw this powerful being of light that transformed into look like human being, you know, 6 foot tall, athletic.
Mm-hmm.
His arms a little bit longer, almost reached the knee, and a little Asian look-like eyes, and gray, delicate hair like a woman's hair. And he made mentally contact me, saying, you know, Renato, we've been watching you, continue what you're doing, we're going to be in contact. And then he said another name. I mean, no, you know that. We all have a different vibrational name, you know, on the... this is you, and you have to continue this. This is going to be your mantra. Work on this. We're going to be in touch. And it's just that I found out later, it was exactly a holographic projection.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the ET right there. It was all manipulated by its own technology.
Oh, yeah. Probably a lot safer that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I'm going to definitely have to have you back on the show again. We've run out of time.
Okay.
And can you give your website real quick if people want to contact you?
Sure. It's www.renato, that's R-E-N-A-T-O, Longato, LONGATO.com. And my email is Saipan, S-I-P-A-N, 4 is the digit, at yahoo.com.
Great. Well, it's been an awesome interview. I can't wait to meet you in person and have you up at the ranch. And we'll get together again. I want to hear more of these stories, and hopefully when we've got a little more time.
Sure. I mean, I really appreciate, James. I mean, all my love and light for you, and keep doing the mission.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, this is James Gilman with As You Wish, signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.